Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 6, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 31, the first paragraph that starts, "Despite all we can say," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Mary H. for the 12 steps, Karen B. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Mary Jane Z. and Dion R. The share ID for Wednesday, June 5th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13001. That's 13001. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time, share ID is 13004. That's 13004. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kathy R., and Janice P.M. will be making the announcement. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Mary H. to read the 12 steps.
Hello, this is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin. And these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary H. And Karen B., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Yes, good morning. This is Karen B. in Utah. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation to all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve, and I pass.
And thank you, Karen B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 31, the first paragraph, this beginning with despite all we can say, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So Mary Jane Z, if you could get us started, please.
Good morning. I'd be happy to. Despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they are in that class. By every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule, therefore non-alcoholic. If anyone who is showing inability to control his drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. So good morning, my fellows. Mary Jane Z, recovered in Kentucky. And here's my take on this. It's trying to wake us up, that first sentence, despite all we can say. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe you're in that class. And, you know, this whole paragraph is a warning and an invitation. And it by every form of self-deception and experimentation, they're going to show us they're going to ask that question in the next paragraph, how did you experiment? But the self-deception, I have to look at all the different things that I said. Oh, it's not that bad. I'm special. It's not going to affect me. Oh, I'm so sensitive. I've got to. Yeah, but they don't understand. If only. I can't because. If you had my life. And, you know, finally, I've got this. I can figure this out. I don't need this. And I was in that mode for many, many years. Not inside the rooms. I'm one of the lucky ones. When I got in the room, I was beaten to enough of a pulp. I heard the message. It was like, oh, my gosh, this makes total sense. But I hear it all the time with people that I work with. Yeah, but. And, but, you know, before I got to the room, I did try many different ways of controlling my drinking or my eating. And I was never able to do that 180 degree that's necessary to do what needed to be done to control and eat like a lady. I tried and tried and tried. to eat like a normal person, and I was not able to. And so for all of you out there that are struggling, you're in the right place, and let this be a wake-up call. If anything, we're planting a seed here for the future so you can start thinking about looking at, I had to start looking at how am I behaving? What am I doing? And
Mary Jane, we can't hear you.
Oh, I guess I got muted. So I don't know what you what you missed.
Just about 10 seconds.
Okay. So anyway, my hats are off to you if you're in this room. Just listen to this message and put yourself in this, ask these questions to yourself. There's hope in these rooms. A whole new world is about to open up for you. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Mary Jane G, for getting us started this morning. So again, we're on page 31, the first paragraph. And that paragraph only, who would like to share on that paragraph?
Patty,
Lisa
does, J.R.
So I got Patty, D-I-N-R. Lisa, J.R. What was the last, Dion?
Uh-huh.
Was it Dion? R,
yes,
as in
Dion
Robert?
R, yes.
Oh, Dion. Okay, yes. I know you, Dion. We have already spoken. Okay.
Karen B.
Okay. Karen B.
Des M.
Des M.
Ida A.
Ida A. Okay, let's stop that there. That's a great lineup there. Okay, so I have Patty, I didn't catch the initial of your last name, Lisa J.R., Dion R., Karen B., Des M., and Ida A. So go ahead, Patty.
Hi, this is Patty T. from Southern California. Kathleen, thank you so much for your service this morning. And, you know, I was reading this before the meeting this morning, and I want to look at this phrase, by every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions. So, you know, I decided to look up the word self-deception, and Wikipedia defines it as this. Self-deception is a process of denying or rationalizing away the relevance, significance, or importance of opposing evidence and logical argument. Self-deception involves convincing oneself of a truth so that one does not reveal any self-knowledge of the deception. So it's a lie. That's basically what it is. It's a lie, and denial is a lie. And I lived that way for many, many years, most of my life, in fact. You know, I didn't want to be who I was. I didn't want to look the way I looked. I didn't want to be from the family I was from. I didn't want, you know, like everything about me, I guess I just loathed and didn't want to be. And so I ate to deny those things. And it says here, you know, heaven knows we've tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. Well, I could fill that word in drink with eat, think, look, and be. I wanted to be like other people, not like who I was. This program has allowed me not only to put down the food, but to accept myself as I am, exactly as I am today, from the past that I came from, and be willing to live in the present and take responsibility today for my thinking and my actions, because I have a higher power who can guide me. And thank God I have all of you who can show me. I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Patty T. Lisa J.R., you are up next, followed by Dion R.
Good morning, Kathleen and everybody. Thanks for being on the line. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore. I'm so grateful to read this. And every time I read it with sponsees, it just drives home that I am... Don't watch yourself. Don't be deceived. Don't be in denial. Didn't even know I'm lying. Because I can slip into that so quickly, it isn't funny. A dear friend of mine adopted a precious little baby that was addicted to heroin. And this baby was very, very difficult, you know, early part of her life. And she's a little three-year-old now and doing really well, but she's very small and has some disabilities. And the doctor warned my friend. He said, you know, no matter what you do to make her environment safe from heroin, if she is going down the street when she's an adult and she goes by somebody who is doing heroin, the smell is going to be very familiar to her and it's going to draw her. And, you know, I think of little itty bitty and, you know, what she has, what lies ahead in her life. And I think, my goodness, you know, that's a lot like my disease. I have finally, after years of waffling around, being terminally unique, treating this like a cafeteria, this program, even vision when I first came in, I was like, wow, I love what these people are saying. But it took me time to really just throw the white flag up and surrender, because in my marrow, I am a compulsive overeater. And it doesn't matter whether I have 100 weeks or one day, I am still going to be a compulsive overeater. And I can't worry about the next guy. I can just share the message that I've experienced and hold the lantern, as Leia says, over the big book. That's all I can do. If they want it, they're going to get it. If they're one of us, it isn't for me to tell someone, I'm not a nutritionist. Get a nutritionist. You know, I can help them figure out their triggers, and I can help them figure out their trigger behaviors. But it's not for me to say, you are like me. It's for them to say, I am like you. I must be one of you. So I'm so grateful to be here, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Lisa J.R. So, Dion R., you are up next, followed by Karen B.
Hi, this is Dion R. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Yes, this is Dion R. So grateful to be here. Glad to be here and to read on the topic. That we have to know to our innermost self that I am an alcoholic. I am a compulsive overeater. And today, I heard so many things all morning of how I can't make another person hit their bottom. I find out if they are, if they aren't. And in matter of fact, I can't do nothing. I couldn't get me so. It's no I. I love this program. It's such a we program. You know, we had to see to our animal self, you know. Some people will say, you know, hey, I don't know if this is really me. And that's, you know what? I'm going to accept that. If they could eat sugar, they could eat it. I can accept that because you guys showed me how. You know, I can't take anyone's image because every time I'm, if I recognize it in them, it must be in me, you know, and we cease fighting everybody and everything. And I still have to experiment at 20 years. Oh my God. I hope young people don't have to do that. I can pray for my hope. But like, you know, many predecessors said, you know, we could plant the we could plant the seed and let God do the growing. You know, if I start trying to make it, I wanted to grow this way in the sun. I was doing some gardening the other day and my new phase of retirement development. And it's like, wow, I want to do what I wanted to do. And all I can do is put it in the ground, you know. And today, thanks to this program, I was potted. Today I'm planted in Overeaters Anonymous. I'm here to stay. And day at a time, I know who I am. And if you want what I got, I do. But other than that, it's the allergy of a mind and body. I know all people come to me. I know who I am. And I thought I could eat all that stuff. And today, I know I can't. Thank you. Care, guys. I'm glad I'm on here. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dion R. Karen B., it is your turn, followed by Des M. Karen B., star 1 to unmute.
Good morning. This is Karen B. I've been listening for months and months, but this is the first time I've actually shared. The reading today reminded me of how good I am at convincing people I need sugar. I had my dietitian convinced, and luckily my sponsor through A Vision for You wasn't able to be convinced, and I hope she's listening today because she really changed things around for me. So I just wanted to share that. For me, it was getting off that alcoholic food that really opened my eyes and opened my world now. I appreciate everyone's service to run these meetings and those who share. It really helps me every day. With that, I pass. Have a great day, everyone.
And thank you, Karen B. Des M., you are up next, followed by Ida A.
Hi, this is
Des. There you go.
Oh, hi.
There you are.
Good morning. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach. Thanks so much for having this meeting. I'm just now actually getting in the car from going to get my sugar-free bread that I'm now willing to buy. And anywho, that's just one of the things that I'm willing to do in this program. And, you know, it took years of trying to think that I could eat like normal people. And, you know, it's just not the truth. And the truth for me is that I have, you know, foods that I'm allergic to. And once I like really got quiet and sat with my higher power and a sponsor to figure that out, you know, like my life has totally changed. I'm so grateful. And this just makes me think of like when I was in the food, my favorite thing to do would be to go out and have my alcoholic foods with like perhaps a normal eater or that was definitely a normal body weight. And I would like to tell them like, you know, how do you do this? Like you eat the same thing that I do and you are normal, you know? And really they were probably eating it like once a week or something and it was my daily consumption and then I'd go home and eat more. So I still like to compare myself, you know, my ego does, and I definitely did during my disease. And this is making me think too of, you know, I've tried to think like other people. And like last week I shared on the line that I was in pain and having feelings. And, you know, by the grace of God, I have these steps. I live in 10, 11, and 12. I get to do inventories and I get to feel my feelings that don't all go away with each inventory. But I get to continually do this work. And, you know, the promises don't say, you know, we're free of pain or that our lives are manageable. Our lives are always unmanageable. My thinking is always unmanageable. And I just get to keep turning to the steps, you know, and I didn't have to eat over my pain. I have a plan in place to like handle the deeper trauma pain. And, you know, and I got to reach out to my higher power and to fellows to just really hear the solution. So I'm so grateful that I'm willing today to live in the solution. And I pray that you guys all have a beautiful day. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Des M. So before we take Ida, just a reminder, we're on page 31, the first paragraph, despite all we can say. And I'll be taking some more names after Ida. So go ahead, please, Ida.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Ida A., grateful, compulsive overeater in northern British Columbia. And I feel so found out today in reading these paragraphs. And I'm in awe that it's my story and that I have awareness that it's me. So what I know today, thanks to all of you and thanks to program, is that for the rest of my life, I need to accept that I have a disease, and this disease has the capacity to trick me if I don't work a program that involves all of you, that involves the steps, that involves daily surrender. What does it say here? Despite all we can say, yes, I am a real compulsive overeater, and at times I'm not going to believe that that's true. At times I'm not if I don't do my work. I follow the rule, if no one saw me compulsively overeating, it must not be real. And because I was good at restricting between binges, the world did not see me wear my food. So again, I guess it's not real. Drink like a gentleman? Yes, in front of you, I did. I did eat like a lady, but by myself, I ate like a ravenous animal. Thank God there was no video or YouTube of me eating like a ravenous animal, although that probably would have helped. But I know the cycle continued for decades. I thought I was terminally unique and the exception to every rule. Thank God for program. Thanks to you visionaries, the AA Big Book has come alive, and I am experiencing freedoms from this insanity and hopelessness, freedom from this bondage of self, freedom from dishonesty, which I never believed would happen, and freedom from blame and fear of people. It's extraordinary. For any of you out there participating in this meeting, calling in every day and still eating, it is absolutely possible to find a different creator, find a different higher power than the food. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And I have such gratitude, no matter what happens in my life and no matter what the stressors, this program works for all of it. And I can show up today as an adult, no matter what happens. And I'm so grateful. Thanks for being here. Blessings.
Thank you, Ida A. So we are on page 31, the first paragraph. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Eileen M.
Mary H.
Sherry KB.
Lillian M.
Okay, I can take a couple more.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. One more. You're all so polite this morning. Okay, let's start
Hi,
with
Maria.
Teresa F.
Maria. Okay, so mm-hmm. Let's stop there. And Maria, I didn't get the first initial of your last name.
M.
Okay, so I have Irene M, Mary H, Sherry KB, Lillian M, Jordan L, Maria N, and Teresa F. And we'll see if we can get to all of you. Okay, go ahead, Eileen. Sorry.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. This is Eileen M, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks so much. I love this paragraph. This is just really great to be reading on the line and discussing. I am a real compulsive overeater, and I'm definitely in that class. And I'm looking at the line that I really am reflecting on today is, we tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. And I certainly did that for decades in OA, actually. And I used all the tools and tried to eat normally and follow a food plan. And, you know, I'd get these periods of abstinence, but I would always go back to the food. And, you know, what I would do often was I would eat lightly in front of other people. But yet when I got back home alone, you know, I would often overeat. And, you know, I was trying to prove to other people when I was with them that I did not have a problem with food. And I thought that if I could convince them that I didn't have a problem, somehow it would convince me that I was normal. And, you know, I wanted other people to think I was normal. And I tried so many different ways of, you know, thinking I could get abstinent by becoming like a vegetarian or becoming a vegan or doing a geographic cure. You know, I tried everything to eat normally. And I'm just so grateful to have found this vision meeting, because when I got on it, I'd never heard recovery like this before ever in, you know, how many 20 plus years of OA. And it was just such a life-saving experience to get on this meeting and to hear that there really was a solution for me. You know, I was a real compulsive overeater, and to find out what I could do to get a spiritual awakening. Because, you know, as I heard in the earlier meeting, the tools were not designed to produce an effective spiritual awakening. And I did not, you know, I didn't find what I have today using just focusing on the tools. So I'm so grateful. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
And thank you, Eileen M. Mary H., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Hi, this is Mary H., recovered compulsive eater in Wisconsin. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to believe that I am in that class. And if anyone is showing an ability to control his drinking right now, can do the right about face, our hats are off to him. I spent a long time watching myself not be able to do that right about face of thinking, maybe I can this time. You know, and before I found the rooms of OA, the way that I did that was that I made other things my God, but really they were my magic bullet. You know, it was a plan. It was a diet. It was a therapist. It was a scale. Like maybe if I weigh myself 6 times a day, then maybe I can stop eating this way. Well, maybe if I go to this commercial diet program, then maybe I can stop eating this way. Maybe I can think my way into eating normally, because it was the only tool I had. Was like I had a sense of dependency and pride on my own ability to manage. That was how I got through life. And then I found OA, and oh my gosh, what a relief to finally realize I can't do an about face and control my compulsive eating. Just a sigh of relief when I found that on the website, and to go to a meeting and to hear people telling my story. It was amazing. And I worked with a sponsor who took me through the steps. And when I look back on that time, I got recovered. I really did. But I didn't realize that my disease was progressive. And so there were foods that after a time I could no longer eat. And by every form of self-deception, I wanted to prove myself an exception to the rule again. Well, if I just keep on working this food plan hard enough, if I just keep on with service, then I'm going to feel happy, joyous, and free again. I'm going to be free of the bedevilments. I'm going to, you know, feel that connection to a higher power the way that I did. And none of those helped me recover from compulsive eating again. And it took until I came here, you know, that was 14 years ago that I found OA. And I would say I was probably recovered for maybe the first 2 or 3 years. And here I am. And last summer, hearing about entire abstinence on this line, and it just clicked again.
Can I please?
Thank you very much. And just so grateful to have the recovery I found here. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary H. Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Lillian M.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen O, and everybody on the line, and Team Thursday, and welcome newcomers. And wow, this is a very powerful paragraph to me. It just reeks of my disease. It wants me to identify out, be different than you. I'm an exception to the rule. And, you know, somebody was reading I think it was Lisa J.R. was reading the definition of either Lisa or Patty were reading self-deception. And I love the Big Book Dictionary, and if you don't have it, get one. It's fantastic. It says in here, lying to oneself, deliberate distortion or misrepresentation of facts. that describes my disease to a T, self-deception, because, you know, for years I was going to prove that I wasn't like you. I didn't want to be like you. I was different. I was unique. I was going to prove that I could eat like a normal person once I got down to my goal weight and did enough exercise here and enough diet there and all that stuff, and it was all about control. I was in self-deception for decades and decades and experimentation, and I didn't want to admit that I was a true compulsive overeater. And that's what they're saying here. You know, you have to decide for yourself if you're a real compulsive overeater. And I fought decades not wanting to be that. I made up every name in the book of what I was, an emotional eater. I was this, I was that. But, you know, all along, and it talks about, you know, we'll read later on about some stories about the man in the carpet slippers and various people. And, you know, I can identify into that. I spent so many years trying to prove that I wasn't like a true compulsive overeater that I wasted a lot of time. And instead of just saying, okay, I surrender, I just kept trying to prove to myself a different diet, a different exercise, eating on this day, not eating on this day, you know. And that's what I did a lot. And what I also like is Albert Einstein said that the consciousness that created the problem cannot be the consciousness that solves the problem. So I know if I'm a true compulsive overeater, I cannot solve this problem by myself. And, you know, we hear in OA meetings about to use the tools. And one day I was talking in a meeting, and I mentioned the spiritual toolkit laid at my feet, and somebody came up to me and asked me what that was. They didn't know, and I said, it's the 12 steps. And that's what's so interesting is that spiritual toolkit changed my life. Being taken through this book, working the steps, it changed my life. It helped me to come to terms with the acceptance that I am a true compulsive overeater and that I can't eat like normal people because I wanted to eat the way I wanted to eat but look like the normal person on the outside. But that's impossible. And I can't do this without my higher power and without all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Ooh, timing right on the dot. Thank you, Sherry KB. Lillian M., it's your turn, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, this is Lillian M. From Metro Atlanta in Georgia. I wanted to really focus this morning on the line that says, heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. And, you know, I'm in my early 60s, and throughout my whole life, I have been trying to eat like other people, according to what is supposed to be healthy eating. And I've constantly had health, eating problems that have contributed to poor health. But not until I was introduced to OA and specifically A Vision for You and been blessed to have a couple of sponsors to work with me have I learned about my problem, my condition, that I am a compulsive overeater, and I do have an allergy to certain foods and how it definitely affects my mind. And I went through the 12 steps, and I did really, really good. And then I thought, wow, I can eat some of these other foods because they are not foods that I'm allergic to. And I realized that they still were trigger foods for me. And I had to go back and work with another sponsor and start identifying what was happening. And what it has come down to is that I definitely must go through these steps on a daily basis. And while I'm doing that, I can really see the recovery. And I'm grateful, and I realize that this is one day at a time. So with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Lillian M. Jordan L., you are up next, followed by Maria N.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Jordan L. in Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to be on the line this morning. And I am, I guess I'm definitely one of you guys because I'm kind of focused on the same line as some others have been talking about. But a little more towards the end, that last line, like other people, that was my great obsession, hands down, without a doubt. Like, I could tell that I didn't eat like other people. I could tell that I was not a normal eater per se. And I could tell this because I spent much of my life observing other people being able to control themselves, so to speak, being able to make it like halfway through a piece of cake and just put down their fork and forget about it, or being able to not eat the whole pint of ice cream. I would witness this, right? And I would see that, and I would try to mimic that. I would try to do the same thing. As like a way to sort of help myself, right? Help myself out of this hole that I felt that I was in. So it was pretty revolutionary for myself when I discovered that that there's a purely physical component to this, that my body is different than those other people, you know. And that kind of blew everything out of the water for me, and I stopped feeling so much guilt and shame about not being able to control it the way that I saw these other people controlling it, you know. And all of a sudden it wasn't like a bad thing to be a compulsive overeater. And I kind of like opened myself up to it and started truly participating in this fellowship more than I have ever participated in anything, at least group activity wise. I'm not really a joiner. But I came into this full force pretty early in, at about like 90 days abstinent. I was like, I'm going to commit myself fully to this. And it's changed my life entirely. So anyway, I'm really grateful to be abstinent and on the line with you guys this morning. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Maria H., or sorry, Maria N., you're up next, followed by Teresa S. Maria, can you press star one to unmute?
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, now I can hear you. And now I can't hear you. Are you there? Maria? Okay, let's come back to Maria. Teresa S., are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm sorry, the robot. I pressed star by accident, and the robot was just talking to me.
Okay.
I love this chapter. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
I love this chapter altogether because in the book, you read what you are, and then it says, there's even more. And the first time I read it, I said, what? There's more? What could, you know, there was so much information to begin with. What more could there be? And, you know, in relation to this paragraph, I never thought I was like other people, but I did, nonetheless, I did try to eat like other people. I did think that maybe I could learn to eat and be like other people when it came to food. I always knew, though, in my heart, I always knew like that what I did with food was not normal, because most of the time I was hiding it, you know. And I know that I knew that when you do things and you're hiding them, it's because you're ashamed of it, you know. And I had a lot of shame around that. I had a lot of shame also around my parents, too, because they were compulsive overeaters, and they were obese most of their lives. And I always tried to hide that fact. So there was, like, a lot of hiding, you know, and I always would try to, you know, make believe that they weren't compulsive eaters, just like I tried to pretend that I really wasn't. And it wasn't until I came into another fellowship that, you know, that I realized what, you know, this great scientist, Nora Belkov, you know, always talks about, is that it's linked to your overeating. You know, the disease of overeating is linked to the same part of the brain as the disease of wanting to drink too much, of alcoholism. So that really truly is, you know, alcoholism to a large degree. And that's when I started to piece it together. But it took almost a decade to keep coming back and to, you know, trying to repeat what it says here by experimentation, you know, and self-deception. Even though I knew what I was, you know, I had been able to put down other substances. I'd been able to quit smoking, doing the big book and the 12 steps, but I couldn't get it with food. I somehow thought, I can do this. Even though I had been through the steps even several times, you know, with food, I always thought in the end, I thought, I don't really need this. You know, I could do this on my own. So it's
time, please.
You know, it's time, you said?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's three minutes. I've got 3 minutes on you.
Oh, okay.
So if you could just wrap it up, Maria. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, I think you get the gist of it. That's pretty much it. Glad to be on the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Yeah, I just timed people there 3 minutes. Okay, Teresa S., now it is your turn. Thank you for your patience there.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is Teresa S. from North Carolina. Just wanted to share that I am 4 months into, you know, just amazing amounts of grief, two deaths in the family, and just extreme turmoil. And I have not picked up my triggers. And it is just an absolute miracle. This is my 15th year in recovery, and I've done just about every style of OA. Very grateful for Vision, because despite all of that, I've never studied the big book like this, and it's just, it's brilliant, and so I'm so very grateful. One thing I've learned over the years is that addiction hijacks my feelings, and the thing I love in this paragraph is like a gentleman, because like a lady is one of the things God gave me, like, just, you know, I can ask myself, am I eating like a lady, you know, am I, you know, showing some dignity, you know, even with food that I've prepared and you know, planned. In the beginning, I would just scarf it down because, you know, food was just so important, because, again, it was hijacking my feelings. And one of the things I remember is before recovery, I was invited to a party, a Christmas party with, you know, one of the meanest ladies in our neighborhood, and very popular and very thin, probably food issues, but whatever. So she invites me, and there's all these people here, and she says, you know, help yourself to the food. And of course, I'm just overwhelmed with, you know, fear and just resentment and all these negative feelings, and just and thrilled that she even invited me to the party. And I start stuffing my face, and then I realize, like, they hadn't said the blessing. They hadn't, you know, really started partaking. I was the only one eating. And I think back to that, and that's because, like, wow, those feelings were just, I had to stuff it down. Just very grateful that today I don't have to be a glutton. You know, I don't have to hijack my feelings. You know, I've got access to them, and I've got a higher power that I can take them to. Someone just shared that we can find a different higher power rather than our addiction. And it's just, I'm just overwhelmed that, that God's taken, you know, my higher power has taken me as far as he has, and I'm able to make it through even what I'm going through right now without picking up the food. Just recently, a friend that I'm trying to kind of reach out with spiritually, you know, he loves Steven Tyler, and he shared a meme where Steven Tyler is saying, like, you know, AA saved my life, basically. And it was so my story. It's all of our stories. Like, I was selfish. I was hurting people. I was hurting myself. And then AA came in, and, you know, I just decided to share on, you know, just on Facebook, you know, AA changed my life too. You know, I don't break anyone else's anonymity, but, you know, I do like to get the message out to anybody who might be suffering. And it turned out to be a really good interaction, because, you know, the big book is the foundation for all addictions. You can substitute, you know, I have other addictions as well, and addictiveness, and, you know, I can go back to the big book and the 12 steps. Mm-hmm. Thank you. To take it to God and not to take it to the addiction. So thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Teresa S. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for the great shares this morning. It was a wonderful meeting. And I want to give a special thanks to Team Thursday, Mary H., Karen B., Mary Jane Z., Dion R., and Kaylee R., and Janice PM for Team Thursday this morning. Thank you so much. We are now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Dion R., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes, hi, this is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear the way, the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trust the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.